Good morning. That first story that we heard this morning from Genesis, that story of Abraham being asked by God to sacrifice his son Isaac, it's one of those stories that we just hear and we just can't believe. Sometimes it's hard to believe a story like that is even in the Bible. It just seems so alien to us. Would God really ask Abraham to do this? And what is it that made Abraham willing to do this? It's a story that's shocking. It's almost like, did this really happen? And even if it did happen, why is it still in the Bible? How do you tell this story to children? It's a shocking story, isn't it? I'd like to spend some time, though, engaging with that story, really engaging with it, because I think what I'd like to suggest to you is that it can really say something to us in our time, in this very day that we live and walk and live. There are two words that you hear me use quite often when I'm preaching, teaching, writing. The two words are narrative and journey. Narrative and journey. Some people even tease me about my using them so often in a loving way. And it's a key part to my journey of faith as well, narrative and journey. Narrative is how we tell the story. The story is the story of our own individual lives. Each of us has a narrative that we tell. Our society and culture has a narrative that it tells. Our country has a narrative that it tells. Narrative and story are important to us. You know, as I mentioned before, over the years, anthropologists believe that in the evolutionary process, when we began to tell stories, we became what we know as human beings. Stories are important to us. Stories are where we go to find meaning, to find understanding, to find direction in our lives. The stories of our ancestors that shape and form us. How often when you get together with your own family do you talk about the stories of your family? How important they are. Both the wonderful things and maybe the not so wonderful things, but they all make up our family story. And we continue to tell that story, continue to live into that story, continue to experience life which becomes incorporated into the story, into the narrative that brings us forward. So narrative is important to us. And all of this takes place in a journey of faith. It's not like there's one story and the journey is finished and I'm there. But rather, the journey of life, the journey of faith, the journey of our own individual lives is a continual movement of our lives as we are shaped and formed by our experiences and rooted in the story, in the narrative of our lives going forward. So those two components are so important, I think, to our lives. Narrative, in which we find meaning, and the journey which invites us to continued movement forward as we're shaped and formed by the narrative and by our experiences. So when we hear this story today, this narrative of the story of Abraham and Isaac, it's important for us to realize something. That all of Scripture, we who are baptized look to the Scriptures as a significant part of our narrative, a significant part of informing us and giving us meaning and shaping us and forming us as we move forward. And our scriptures include the scriptures of the Hebrew people, we call the Old Testament sometimes, but the scriptures of those people who walked in faith and the stories of the New Testament all together shape and form us. But it's important to realize that those stories are also part of a journey, part of a movement. Not every story in the scriptures have an equal understanding of who God is in their lives. The story of Abraham and Sarah was the beginning of the story, the beginning of the narrative, an early experience of this God who was calling them to something. And in many ways, the rest of scripture is really about those descendants of Abraham and Sarah. And so this faith in God, this understanding of who God is this movement, ever forward movement through experience, being informed, being shaped, creating new stories, new narrative as we move forward. And so this story, that we hear today about Abraham being asked to sacrifice his son Isaac in the very emotional phrase, the one whom you love. What an incredible phrase that God calls Abraham to. But here's the thing. In that time and in that culture, as difficult as this may be to hear or understand, this would not have been an uncommon story. An ancient people and their understanding of the gods around them oftentimes were struggling with their relationship with the gods. It was not always a trusting relationship. Oftentimes, people saw the gods being angry at them, the gods not satisfied with them, the gods punishing them. And if you read early anthropology, early cultures, early people, there became this idea of trying to win over God's love again through sacrifice. If I had a bad harvest, God was angry with me. Let me sacrifice some of the grain to God. Let me burn some of this grain to God. And to fast forward that story, it came to the point where people in those times to their gods would even sacrifice children. They would even sacrifice their own child to satisfy the gods. I know that's a tough thing to wrap our head around. Very tough thing. But that was part of the culture at the time of Abraham and Sarah. There are many stories told in the cultures of that time, in the religious understandings of that time, of a father and son going up the mountain of sacrifice and only the father coming back down the mountain. That would have been a story that people were familiar with hearing. And so the people, the cultures of that time, hear this story of Abraham and Isaac. And when they hear that story, because stories were in the oral tradition, remember these stories were really not written down yet. There wasn't a whole lot of writing and writing material and people able to read, but they were oral traditions. They were told through time, told through generations. So the people hearing this story would have said, okay, I'm familiar with this. This God of Abraham is also calling him to sacrifice his son Isaac. I know what that is. Our gods ask us to do that too. But as the story is told, and as the story ends and concludes, the people who heard this story would have been shocked. Shocked that this God did not require Abraham to sacrifice his son. This would have been a story of just ultimate shock and difference. Who is this God? Who is this God? Our gods ask us to sacrifice. Our gods ask us to sacrifice our children. And Abraham and his descendants would say, your gods do, but not our God. Not our God. And the story is one not of a God who we have to satisfy and make love us, but rather for Abraham, this is a God who loves Abraham. And Abraham knows that and trusts in God. Remember, the faith of Abraham is not so much believing in something as much as trusting someone. And Abraham trusts this God. That's the significance of Abraham's faith. He trusts God. Even in the midst of this request by God to sacrifice his son, the story captures us as we go along. Abraham trusts God, trusts that somehow this is going to lead to something. Something of meaning and significance. And it does. Abraham trusts God will do something. There's an interesting phrase in this reading, which we sometimes pass over. In the reading from Genesis, as they approached the mountain, as it says, Abraham took a couple of men with him to help Isaac and Abraham in this journey, this three-day journey to this mountain of sacrifice. Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there, we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Interesting phrase. The boy and I will go over there, we will worship, and then we will come back to you. Strange phrase to say if you're going up the mountain to sacrifice your son. But somehow Abraham trusted that God was going to lead this to some other meaning, some significance, and he trusted God. And so while the people of that time were accustomed to a father and son going up to the altar of sacrifice and only the son coming back, this story has the father and son going up to the altar of sacrifice and both the father and the son come back down the mountain. That's an image that the people of that time would not have been able to handle. But rather, what does the angel tell Abraham to do? There's a ram in the thicket. Sacrifice the ram. And he does. And so in Abraham and Sarah's ancestors, this idea of sacrificing children becomes alien. It's a movement in the journey. It's an addition to the narrative. Are they all the way to understanding who God is in their lives? No. They're not sacrificing children, but they're sacrificing rams and lambs. And even until the time of Jesus, that tradition continues of sacrificing lambs, sacrificing at the temple to win God's love, to trust, to find that what kind of love can we have with this God. There were times where the Hebrew people doubted, and there are times where they felt assured of God's love. Jesus comes. Jesus comes to assure us that God's love for us is never-ending. Jesus has not come to change God's mind about us, as had been the religious history. Jesus comes to change our minds about God, to realize that God loves us, God cares for us. And the journey and the story continues. The narrative is added to, and more meaning and understanding is gained. Jesus' teaching to me is so summed up in the Beatitudes. And we are a people still on a journey. We're not living the Beatitudes yet. It's been a couple thousand years. We're still living into those. They're still part of our story. They're still part of the journey that we wish to reach forward to and move towards. The story continues. The narrative continues. We continue to move. So this story of Abraham and Isaac, as difficult as it is for a people in our time to hear that story, for the people at that time, it was such a shift in understanding who God is and understanding their story and their narrative. To let go of that understanding, to let go of that meaning, and wander into this God of Abraham and Isaac. Who is this God? And who are we being called to become? I think this story can speak to our time. We live in a narrative. We live as a people in a story. Not only our faith story, but our family stories, our community stories, our nation story. And the story is one that we tell and we're a part of, and it gives us meaning, gives us purpose, gives us understanding in the midst of confusing times, difficult times. But during the time of this pandemic, there's been a lot of information to add to our narrative. The story of the poor, the story of those who lack health care, little access to health care. That's part of a story that we told when we look back at normal times. But this pandemic has raised our eyes to new possibilities, new stories, new parts of the narrative that weren't part of the narrative. Oftentimes, the people with power tell the narrative. Historians tell me that history is always told from the point of view of the historians. And not all the history gets told. As we now battle with this sin of racism, which isn't anything new, but the stories and the narrative of folks whose stories and narrative were never part of the big narrative are beginning to be necessary to know and understand as we tell our story, as we tell this narrative journeying forth. And like those ancient people who would have heard this story of Abraham and Isaac and said, "What? That's not the story we're used to living. That's not the narrative that's given my life meaning." This story was a shift for them. And I really believe that we are in that kind of a time. We are in a time where our narrative, our understanding of our history, has perhaps been just partial part of our history, not the full part of our history. And we need to own all of it. We need to own the whole story. We need to hear parts of the story we've never heard, or perhaps haven't opened ourselves up to, that others have been telling. We need the whole story to be healed. We need the whole story to live now. We need the whole story to journey forth into the narrative and the wonder that God's calling us to. So I hope you can read this reading in a new light. Yes, it's shocking. Yes, it's a difficult story to tell and hear, but understand it within the context of its time. And friends, we live in a context and a time. A time where we are needing to open up to the possibility of new narrative, new understanding, new relationships, new ways of relating, that we can bring about justice, we can bring about fairness, we can bring about equality. It's the journey we're called to walk. And we continue as descendants of Abraham and Sarah, continuing to learn as they did in their time to move in the journey, to move in the journey. We're being called to do that as well. May we own the fullness of our story, the fullness of our narrative, and find both healing, hope, and possibility as we move forward as a people of God. God bless.